Tom Berman on with us, and certainly do appreciate Tom giving us a call. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. Tom, hey, I was wondering if you, because we all know the kind of player you were at Laramie High School, if you went down into the arena auditorium and tried putting up a couple of threes, because it seemed everybody was making threes there a couple of days ago.
I went 3-for-4 in pregame, which tells you what kind of day it was for us. I haven't hit one since 1990.
Are you more of a wing guy, or are you a top of the key guy?
I'm not any. I'm dead. I'm done.
Are you the guy that invented the two hand set shot?
You know, I actually Kenny invented the jump shot. About 50 years later, I wanted to go back to the two hand underhand, but the game wasn't adopted.
All right. Tom, I guess how exciting or how interesting was that to sit there, be attendance, and just watch shot after shot from 3-point go in? I mean, it had to be kind of, at first you go, okay, wow, they're making threes. And then I was following it on stats on the bus coming back from Logan, and I was thinking to myself, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it was a phenomenal shooting performance, and you get excited for the kids, and then as soon as it's over, you go, all right, now they got to understand that they have to get better shots to win on the road, because you're not going to make 20 free throws in Boise. So it's one of those things where it's great, but all right, how do we learn from it from a positive way? And I know Shyatt was thinking the same thing as soon as it was over. But as we all know, we can put five guys on the floor who can make shots. Our challenge has been we don't have a consistent post presence or a consistent guy that can knock down a 15-footer other than really Josh. So, but it was great to see. It was fun for our fans, and you know, as the night wore on, you just knew every shot was going to go in.
Well, Tom, as we kind of get the legislative session going, you've certainly become well aware of what's going on in Wyoming politics, especially with a very important thing for Wyoming athletics with the matching funds for the money raised from the Cowboy Joe Club and matched by the state. Yeah, I know you've been talking a lot about it. I know people have voiced their opinions about it in numerous ways. I guess just as we get closer to finally seeing what's going to happen with this, what's this whole process been like for you as athletics director of answering questions or hearing people voice their opinions one way or the other toward this issue?
Well, I've been doing this job long enough that it takes a lot to really get me agitated at this stage. So I respect everyone's opinion, and I don't take it personally. Some of the staff have come in and said, God, this is ridiculous. Did you read this? Yeah, I did, but there's nothing we can do about it. We're not going to respond to every situation or every email or every post or blog or whatever there is out there in the social media world. We can't deal with that. But what I do say to all of those who care about the future of cowboy and cowgirl athletics, make your opinion known. And I would say the same to those who don't care about it and feel like it's not relevant, it's not important, and it serves little or no purpose to the university and the state. If you feel that way, let it be known. We're kind of at a crossroads, and that's something Governor Mead has said multiple times. He and I have discussed it. We either got to get in or get out, and to me, there's no doubt we can't get out. We got to stay in this battle, and we got to improve. And but if $4 million annually or $8 million the buy-in goes to zero, we have real problems, and we're going to have to be prepared to deal with them.
Now, you mentioned, Tom, is maybe one of the most frustrating parts about this, reading and seeing and hearing things that just aren't true, that, you're trying to, okay, well, those aren't the facts. These are the facts. Is that maybe one of the most frustrating things?
Yeah, there's two things that kind of bother me, because I believe, now it's Tom Berman, doesn't mean I'm always correct, but I think there are two things that are unfortunate. One is, It's been positioned as an argument of K-12 versus athletics or literacy versus athletics or some really important social program, and I don't believe that is the case. Secondly, though, when people start talking about dropping down and all of the money that we would save, that's wrong. There's reasons why schools from all over the country are dying to go from football championship subdivision, 1AA, to the Mountain West Conference. And the reason is that level is very, very expensive, and there's very little revenue that can be generated for your program when your big game of the year is the Sacramento State Hornets. And I've been there, and that's where people don't quite understand. I served as the AD in the Big Sky for 6 years. I know the finances of those schools in and out, and it would our fans would run from Wyoming for a period of years, not forever, if we went backwards.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Tom, I know with this match, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that have happened in the landscape of college athletics, you know, where you're dealing with cost of attendance now, we're dealing with unlimited meals for student athletes. I mean, this isn't, you know, this would certainly help, but this doesn't, you know, put an end all to make, you know, Wyoming athletics Mountain West champions in every sport going forward. But where would this money be most served, you know, moving ahead, whether we're talking any sports or all the sports over at the University of Wyoming?
Well, I believe that the greatest challenge in Division I athletics today, for almost every school, but for the University of Wyoming in particular, is how do you solve the issue with football? Football is the greatest expense, the greatest revenue producer, and the one that creates the most passion. Right or wrong, it does. And but because it's the most expensive sport, it is also, when you're a lower-tier budget and you're struggling to make ends meet every year, it's hard to make serious, consistent investments in the program. And that's one of the things, and I take the blame because it's happened on my watch, but we have not been consistent in our investment in football. And we have to stick with this. We've made a good effort the last few years, and I think we really need to stick with it, not for another year or two, but for multiple years, and see where we land and really assess the situation at that point. This $4 million a year is going to help, but I hate to say this, and this bothers some people, and it may even cost us some support and some votes. Others are doing the same thing. Now, are they doing it in such a public fashion and as transparent as the University of Wyoming? When I say others, other schools in the Mountain West? No, they're not. They're refunneling monies from student fees, refunneling money from institutions, from the administration, and finding ways to cover these additional costs. We have chosen, whether it's right or wrong, to ask the state rather than put it on the students, or already borrowing money from a cash-strapped institution, because there is no massive reserve at the University of Wyoming like there must be at Colorado State, because they're moving money around like crazy. We don't have those dollars at Wyoming that are just sitting in an account somewhere, and they can move $5 million over to athletics for a few years, and hey, good luck to you. That doesn't happen at Wyoming. So we've made a choice that we're going to ask the state. We asked them for $10 million. They reduced it to $8 million. And we're going to fight to the end to see if we can hold on to that $8 million.
Tom, have you done a study or have you looked into what the return on the investment is from the matching dollars that you could potentially receive from the state? Say, for instance, okay, we get dollar for dollar, you know, it returns $2. Have you looked at what the return on the investment is?
No, not in a quantifiable research-based structure like you're asking. The university 3 years ago through the Department of Economics did an economic analysis of the value of intercollegiate athletics, and I don't have it in front of me, but you're talking millions of dollars every Saturday, hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue generated off every football game, 140 employees, thousands of scholarships. So I think you can argue that, and then there is a substantial and people value this differently, but the exposure of intercollegiate athletics is very, very valuable, and when you're a school like Wyoming that's striving to get exposure and striving to enroll more students, anything we can do to get on national television helps both the state and the university. But the thing I keep saying to people is we don't get a cent of the $4 million, if we don't raise $4 million. I mean, we got every dollar we raise, they give us a dollar. Will we raise $4 million? I believe we will, but we are going into a different economic climate, and fundraising will become a little more challenging. But I have no doubt we'll raise the $4 million necessary, because that's the way people in Wyoming operate. They want to help us.
Tom, I'm going to address this to Reese's question, and it's anecdotal. It's not statistics or anything. But I will bring this up, and this is many years ago. But Frank Norris was the head of the Travel Commission here for years and years and years, and I remember talking to Frank one time about this it was an offhand conversation, and he said, for a state where one of the largest industries in the state is tourism, where we, depend a lot of industry, a lot of businesses in the state, a lot of towns in the state depend on tourism, he said, the best advertising we can get for the state of Wyoming and for the tourism industry as part of that is when the University of Wyoming football team appears on a bowl game or a national TV game. He said, we could not, in the state of Wyoming, we could not afford to buy that time to promote the state of Wyoming that we get every time one of our teams shows up on a national television, television, because it reminds people about Wyoming. It reminds people that this is a place that they think about, hey, that'd be a great place to go to vacation. He said, we can't buy that kind of exposure for a state that depends on an industry like that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And another anecdotal one, but relevant, is I got at least 3 emails after we put the end zones in a couple years ago that show the Tetons from people who said to me, either I'm going to the Tetons or Yellowstone, or I've been there last year. What a great experience. I saw your end zone. Wow, that was really cool. It reminded me of my experience. Every time that bucking horse flashes across, whether it be Root Sports, but ESPN, ESPN2, any national broadcast, there it helps put that front of mind, Wyoming, the state, the Tetons, I'm interested in going. And there's no way to quantify it, but you look at schools like Dayton and Butler and Gonzaga that have become great basketball schools. They'll put a dollar figure on the amount of the value of the advertising they received by being exposed on national television for X number of minutes, X number of hours, and it's in the millions. Now, you can shoot holes in those arguments as well, that it's not equal to a 30-second spot. I get that. I hear that. And I understand it. But it has value. There is no doubt about it.
Tom, worst-case scenario, if things don't kind of fall the way that you'd like them to fall, I know you want to continue with the cost of attendance. I know you want to continue with the nutrition aspect of this thing. Would there ever be a scenario where you say, we're only going to pay football cost of attendance, or is it everybody or nothing?
Well, cost of attendance, you have to be very careful with Title IX. So if you're going to do 85 football scholarships, $3,000 a piece, I got to do an equal number on the women. So if that total cost is $280,000, I got to spend $280,000 on women. So it's pretty complicated. You got to be careful. But we will do it the right way, and we'll make sure that we manage it. But yes, there will come a day where we won't be able to do full cost of attendance across the board. There will come a day, sooner than later, that we'll have to do nutrition different than we're doing today. We will dramatically, instantly reduce how we travel. This sounds crazy to Wyoming people, but we will take a long look at playing 5 football games, 7 on the road. No way to build a program, but if we can get paid an extra $1 million, then we can continue to do some of those things. Those are the worst-case scenarios and borderline suicide.
Yeah.
But you have to make business decisions at some point, and you look at it and you go, how do we survive this? I am very confident that won't happen, that it goes to zero, because I think the people in Cheyenne that are there now know what that means. It's a conscious decision to fail.
Yeah, certainly would be. Tom Berman, the athletics director for the University of Wyoming. Now, if you get the match, Tom, I've also heard that, it all of a sudden vault Wyoming in the top half of the league budget-wise as far as athletics budgets. Now, is that true?
First of all, there's no way to forecast what the other schools are doing. They're going, like I said, they're going through the same issues. But we're probably, Right now, in total budget, we're probably out of the 11 schools. Let's throw Hawaii out. Out of the 11 schools, we're probably 8 or 9, depending on how you count it. It will probably move us up to 6 or 7. So it will help. And the other thing, that the total budget number isn't as relevant at UW because we have 17 sports. Sometimes an Air Force will have 30. Now, they're going to operate on a budget $15 million more than us. But it's not always comparing dollars to dollars. But what it will do, right now, our football budget is probably in the upper half of the Mountain West, and we can maintain it if we stay at $4 million. That will give Coach Bull the tools to be successful.
Tom, I know, you know, again, if this gets approved, it doesn't solve all the problems, but I know we've talked over the years where, you know, you're always looking at other additional sources of revenue within athletics to generate and stuff, and in this day and age, any kind of revenue stream you can find is going to be helpful. What are some of the things that maybe you and your staff are thinking about or talking about to add some more revenue streams, whether it's, you know, continuing some existing programs or adding some things? Are there anything in that area that you guys are working on?
Well, I think if this gets reduced even slightly, we're going to have a conversation with the administration, the trustees, the legislature about beer and wine. There is revenue there. In the past, I didn't think it was enough revenue to really make it worth it. But fans are getting used to it. That's kind of the expectation now. When they go to a game, they have a beer. That wasn't the case 10 years ago. It was, you go to some games and have a beer. Now, you're going to go to most games, and even lots of college games today, you can have a beer, have a glass of wine. We're going to have to look at that. That will cause an uproar and drama similar to what we're going through right now. So I'd rather kick that can down the road a little while, because there are some that are very strongly against that, and there is some good logic to it. But it's probably in the neighborhood of a net figure after all the expenses of installation and security and the like. It's probably in the neighborhood of $100,000 to $150,000 a year. Well, that's real dollars at some point.
As long as you can let your sideline guy have one or two during a game, Tom, I'd be more than happy to throw my support behind that.
Slip a little in a Gatorade for you.
What's that?
Slip a little in a Gatorade for you,
Tom.
That's the Wyoming way.
Exactly. Yeah, no, here's the thing that I understand it, but you can have a beer in the parking lot in the tailgate section or in tailgate park before the game. You can have drinks in the Wildcatter suites now, and you can drink after the game. So all you're talking about is actually in the venue for the 2.5 hours of the actual game. I mean,
we're not far away from it. Yeah, we're not a long way away from it. The difference is there's no access. Well, I shouldn't say no access. It becomes a possible security issue for students and the like. And we have had a good run of success lately without major drama in the student section. But it's going to be a discussion that probably has to be had at some point.
Yeah, I'd hate to think that anybody in the student section had been drinking.
I will tell you, and this may surprise you, you know, after the games, I walk through there, and the student section, at least the amount of hard liquor laying around that I used to see when I was here compared to now, I think is less. I think the kids have learned how to drink better, drink smarter. I hate to say they're doing it, but they are. We all know that. But I tell you, when I was here in the 80s, and Reese can kind of vouch for that because I think I've seen him, there was lots of Jack Daniels left laying around, and I think kids have learned that, you know, binge drinking is just a high risk venture.
Yeah,
you think it was bad when you guys were there? You should have been there in the '60s when Lloyd Eaton was the coach.
I couldn't afford Jack Daniels, Tom. It was 10 high. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
All right, guys, take care.
Thank you, Tom. Anything we can do to help you, never hear.
I appreciate it. Just keep talking about it.
Right. We do.
That's Tom Berman, the director of athletics for the University of Wyoming. And, yeah, it's the cat's out of the bag there with the whole beer and wine.
Kids are drinking smartly. You about lost it.
They're drinking smarter than they did in the past. So we have to take a time out.